most, yeah, from the limo to the gutter, and there's no love lost, it don't really matter.
We'll start in a second, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, welcome back to That's Life with Mark Snyder here at PNPnetwork.com. And with us right now on the line is Eric Shankman, of course, from the Spin Doctors, as well as Corky Lang, who originally was with Mountain. And now they, together with special guest Noel Redding, have formed Cork and have a great new CD out. It's called Speed of Thought. I really enjoyed this thing. And it is available right now in stores and distributed by WEA on the Lightyear label. And let's say hi, Eric. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Corky? Welcome to the show.
Corky says hi.
Hi.
Eric says hi.
Hi.
Eric, I got to talk to you first of all. First question that comes to mind, why did you leave the Spin Doctors in the first place?
Sorry, we just passed the nuclear info center. That's pretty weird. In case you want any information on that, we could import that. I left because I'd been with the band for 10 years. I started the band, and I wasn't able to make the same decisions with those guys, with the other guys in the band anymore. I just wanted different things, you know. So I split.
That's pretty much what happens with most bands, right? Everybody starts thinking a little differently and goes in different directions.
No. Those guys were thinking in the same direction, and I was thinking in a different direction.
Ah. was it a brave thing you did? I mean, you know, did you know what was going to happen? Obviously, you know.
A brave thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was brave. I was very brave.
I mean, you left something that was very successful for the unknown, right?
I'm sorry. Say that again. I couldn't hear you.
I said you left something very successful for the unknown.
Yes.
So that's kind of brave.
Yes, I think that's kind of brave. It took a little bit of courage, but it was mostly just intuition. I didn't know what I was doing, and everybody I knew said, "What, are you crazy? What are you doing?" Like, don't believe it, couldn't you, you know, sort of thing. But it was the right thing to do, you know. I mean, it was my brainchild. The first 10 years, I can take credit for that, and the Spin Doctors, all this.
Like, we go through different areas, and, you know, goes in and out.
That's okay.
So I thought I'd call you from one of these phone booths here. So we just stopped to get gas and then check in again. Are you all right?
So you're being like Superman with a phone booth, huh?
I'm having a good time, yeah. It's like, I'm in a phone booth somewhere in Arpit, Ontario. I don't know.
Ontario?
Yeah.
Lovely.
We're heading down towards Ithaca, crossing over the border.
You actually wrote one of the great songs of all time.
Thank you.
Mississippi Queen.
Thank you.
Love that song.
Thank you.
And as a matter of fact,
I
have it on a single still.
Oh, good.
Do you ever get together at all with Leslie West?
All the time. We see him all the time.
Really?
Yeah, every time I'm in New York. He's a good friend.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yeah. Well, he's not a great guy. I didn't say he was a good guy. He's a good friend. He's a schmuck, actually. He's a greedy motherfucking cunt.
Ooh, that's good for radio.
That's all right. As long as you beep, beep, beep. But he knows I love him, you know?
Yeah, I'm not going to beat that at all. I'm just going to let people know the real Corky Lang. Because it's right on the air right now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's there.
Yeah, he's a mother keep, but yes, son of a but yes, son of a anyway, no, I love him.
Now, Corky, how did you end up getting together with Eric?
Well, we started up getting together with Eric. Eric, actually, Noel Redding introduced me to him on a session that Eric was doing for Eddie Kramer down at Electric Ladyland in New York. Noel invited me down. I was hanging with Noel, playing with him. And he was going to do some overdub on a bass, and Eric was doing a guitar part. And Dave Abruzzese, the original drummer from Pearl Jam, was down there. So it was a group of people. And it turned out that Eric's mother was from Toronto, where I was living. And we started chatting about Canada. And he says, you know, I'm coming up there to see my mom. Maybe I should give you a call. So I said, yeah, call. We'll get together. We'll play. You know, just sort of a casual thing. And then I guess from going from casual, we got together, played, and we really had a good time. And and then we called Noel back up, and he said, yeah, let's do some road work. So we did about a dozen dates back a couple of years ago around the New England area. You know, Providence, we did Woodstock, I don't know, you know, just, we did Philadelphia, New York, and it went really well, and the people who hired us asked us to come back, so we didn't know what to call it. We didn't know we were going to call it Noel, Eric, or Cork, so somehow it ended up alphabetical order. We called it Noel. I'm in court. Anyways, then they asked us to come back again. We went on and did another tour in the spring, I guess, of 97, 98, 99, this was 99, right? Yeah, 98, spring of 98. We went and did some more dates, and then we got a record deal. So, you know, just the old-fashioned kind of record executive in the audience saying, "Geez, I like this band. Let's sign them." So Eric and I said, "Yeah, we'll do a record for him." And that's when we did the Cork thing. Noel had to go back to Ireland, so that sort of put him out of proximity to do the whole record. But he came and played on some of the tracks.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you why he was special guest rather than being an integral part of the group.
Well, because he has his own sort of agenda in Ireland. It's a little bit unrealistic. He's in semi-retirement, Noel. You know, in his own way, he's kind of a strange starship. You know, he's really a character. And he's wonderful to play with, but he doesn't really commit too much. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And just think of it. He he walked off on Jimi Hendrix and the Experience. And take it from there, you know. I mean, it's just the way he is. And so he wasn't about to commit to the band, although we're supposed to go to Ireland and England, do some dates in December with him. He called up his agent there, and we're supposed to go over and join him.
Of course, you paired up with Eric Shankman, who walked out on the Spin Doctors as well.
Yeah, that's right. I guess I'm hanging out, and I walked out on Leslie, so we're all walkers. We should call back at the band the Walkers, you know, the
there
Quitters.
There you go.
The Quitters, you know.
Junior All-Star and the Walkers.
Well, I was playing with Mick Taylor for a while, so that completed that one.
There you go. We just had Mick on the show a little while ago.
He's a great guy.
He is a good guy.
He's a wonderful man.
This is a great CD, I got to tell you. I like it a lot.
Yeah, you know what? I heard parts of it. Yeah, he's had a couple of good records. And I know it just depends on how fast he makes them, but the last one's good?
Yeah, no, I'm talking about the Cork album right here.
Oh, the Cork album.
I'm talking about Cork, Speed of Thought.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Mick Taylor.
No, I'm done talking about Mick Taylor. He's a nice guy. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, we really enjoyed writing that one. And I was working with Leslie for a while with Mountain right up until a few years back, and Leslie said, I don't want to record anymore. He was fed up recording. He was too jaded by the fact that he couldn't get radio. I said, well, it's not about getting radio less. It's about making a record and you know, communicating. So I kept on writing, and that's why, you know, I left. And I said, I got to put my own thing together because I just felt I could continue doing it. As long as people are hiring and want to hear it, then, if a record executive is going to do a record these days, they feel that somebody's going to buy it, you know. And it was a pleasure to do it with Eric. You know, he's a really great, great guy to work with. And I tell you what, I'm very fortunate. He's a very good, he's really a great player. You know, he turned out to be a lot better than I knew he was good. As a matter of fact, even Leslie, when we were touring when the Spin Doctors first came out, Leslie said, he's the only motherfucker that's playing anything these days, you know? and I said, oh, yeah. And then coincidentally, I met him, and I said, Les, I met Eric. He said, oh, that's Schmingman? What's his last name? Spinkbaum? What's that Jewish kid's name? Spookbook? You know? Anyway, so I'm playing with Eric Spookbook, you know? Anyway, so we're, the dates are going well, Mark. I'm glad you enjoy the album. I have to say I'm really pleased with it. We did the whole album in 13 days.
Yeah, I like Genuine a lot. That's the new single, of course.
Yes, it is. It is a single.
But I also loved Hail Mary right off the bat.
Oh, wonderful. You know that's about Doug Flutie, right?
Of course.
Yeah. He actually called and was nice enough to get hold of the, because he owns it. I think it's some sort of intellectual property, the actual video of the pass.
Because
it's Boston University who did it, and he
BC,
asked to go
BC.
Through him to clear it. So we cleared it for a video if and when the record becomes a single, you know.
Oh.
So I actually had the footage of that pass. I keep watching it myself.
I got to tell you, that's Boston College, not University.
Oh, sorry.
Around here, it's a big deal.
It is. Okay, it's Boston College. That's right. But it's—I just figure I'm calling anywhere in that neighborhood. Everybody loves Doug. You know?
Well,
they love him up in Toronto. You know?
Actually, Doug Flutie is from Natick, Massachusetts, and my first gig on radio was in a Natick radio station. And he used to wander in with his brother Darren all the time.
Is that right, eh?
That's funny.
That's funny.
He's not
a very big guy.
No, he's a little guy.
A little guy.
You know?
I feel bad. He's having a real rough time right now.
Well,
it's just the way people are, you know, when they're up, they put you up too high, and when you're not doing well, they put you down too much, you know.
Yeah, he's a good guy, though. He deserves whatever he gets.
Exactly. You know, I tell you, he took this Canadian Toronto Argo team to three Grey Cups, you know, and I know a lot of people think Canadian football is this and that, but there's still 300-pound guys hitting you.
Hmm.
You know? And he doesn't have a bruise on him, you know.
Cookie, when did you begin playing the drums?
I had my bar mitzvah by 1942. No, I'm just kidding. I played bongos. I played bongos when I was 12 years old.
My son is 8. He's going to take drum lessons.
That's fine. It's, you know, the problem with drums is people get bored with it easy. The idea is to keep learning it, you know. It's like life itself. It's very hard to stay interested in drums because people go, I can play this beat, I can play that beat, that's it, you know. It gets, the more you know, the more you don't know about drums. But so it's the same thing with anything. But drums is kind of like it's, people feel it's one-dimensional because of what they hear and what they see, but it's really not. So when you have an 8-year-old, they see and feel a lot more, they see and feel a lot more than you think, except you have to direct them. It's a hard thing to direct, but good luck to them.
Yeah, it's interesting because when I was a kid, everybody in our neighborhood went out and bought drums. We all thought we were Ed Cassidy over at Spirit. We thought we were Ed Cassidy at Spirit, or we thought we were the Carmen over in the Vanilla Fudge, some of these great drummers that were around back then.
Oh, yeah, what happened in those days, though, the drummers were allowed to do anything they wanted, you know? I mean, that's the big deal. I mean, I have to say, I was very fortunate to be a drummer when the drummers were given that kind of freedom, you know? I mean, Felix would, as long as I knew, brought the whole band back to one, he didn't care what I did.
Mm.
And it was a great time to be a drummer. You have to understand that. These days, I don't know that you have anywhere near the freedom. It was a real bad time about 10 years ago with all these samples and stuff, and every drummer had to sound like a drum machine.
Yeah,
I feel bad for the, you know, it's just Dennis from Foreigner used to have to play that one. I do want it. Yeah, I'll have it.
$2?
Yeah, sure. Eric's hitting me up for money right now as we speak. Is this going on radio?
Sure, it's fine.
$2 or a lot of bucks?
Yeah.
Pack of smoke. Pack of smoke, so
I'll get a couple while you're there, too.
He wants to get a view, too. So I have to say that there was a very very important part of being a drummer at that time was... You just had, you know, like Keith Moon, all the boys. Nobody told them what to do.
You remember Vanilla Fudge, that great, You Keep Me Hanging On, that great drum solo?
Oh, yeah, I love that, yeah.
That's cool.
I used to listen to that all the time, yeah. He taught everybody how to play slow.
Yeah, he was really cool. In fact, when he was here, he gave me a set of drumsticks that I cherish.
Well, I could probably do that, too, if that'll make you happy.
I would cherish those as well.
Okay, are you coming out of the show, by the way?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Well, I have to mail them to you then.
Yeah, you could do that. I'm actually married with a couple of kids, and it's kind of tough
to get out. No, I understand. I'm married with a whole bunch of kids, too. But that's all right, Mark. I could send them to you. If you like that, you know.
I think that'd be cool.
A drum set for the kids.
Now, you have a 12-year-old son, I understand, who's also a musician?
My son?
Yeah, Colin.
Colin is just, he's everything you want him to be. He's a schizophrenic. He does everything. He loves guitar. He loves piano. He loves drums. He just does it on his own. I'm not encouraging him one way or the other. He's having a good time at this point. He'll pick it up, you know. As soon as somebody gets a little more serious about it, they'll dig deeper. Does your son have a drum set?
Not yet. No.
Okay. Well, you want to build it up slowly.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna get him. We're gonna buy one from someone else whose kid got sick of it. So.
Yeah.
You know, that's the usual method
of the
first drum.
That's good. Make them shiny. As long as they're shiny, kids love drums.
Your 12-year-old son Colin actually co-wrote one of the songs on the
album. Yeah, he actually, he's really prolific. He does love to write, and he just started. You know, because he listens to the rap thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, Dad, how about, because I play drums and I'd scream and shout. He says, Dad, say this, say that. Why don't you write that? And of course, he's copying everything, Doggy Dog and Maze and all that. He's listening to all the heavy stuff. And I said, Colin, which is real and which are you copying from? I'm never going to tell you, Dad. But he came up with, I get the picture, because I was nagging him to do something. And he finally said, Dad, I get the picture. I said, Colin, that's a good title for a song. I get the picture. You know, it's like, you know, if a picture is so, one picture tells the, was it Rod Stewart's song?
Every picture tells a story.
Yeah. So he started saying, yeah. I said, cool, we'll finish it off. So he came up with a couple of verses, and I brought it to Eric. I said, Eric thought it was great. But I don't tell Eric where it came from. You know, so he just thought it was great. So I think it's one of the better songs, too.
Are all your children musically inclined?
I beg your pardon?
Are all the children musically inclined?
All the children?
Yours.
Just one. I'm just kidding. I was kidding about a bunch of them.
Oh, I thought you said
I'm sorry. I have one, and he's musically. He loves music.
Yeah.
You know?
I always wonder, sometimes I talk to musicians who have a couple kids. One of them really into music. The other one, nothing. You know, no interest at all.
No, he does a bunch of things. It's right there. The hamburger's actually... Wait, excuse me a second, Mark.
We're talking to Corky Lang.
Okay, yeah, go ahead, Mark.
From Cork and Mountain, of course, and Eric Shankman.
Yeah.
Former vocalist.
Are you doing this live?
Cork. Yeah.
Are we live?
Well, pretty much so.
Oh, great. Okay, I thought we were taping this for some reason.
Well, it was being taped as well.
Okay, great. Okay, that's cool. I'm sorry if I'm being so abrupt. It's just we were doing a million things trying to get to a gig, but I apologize to your audience.
Now, you are coming to Boston, correct?
We're coming to Boston the 26th. We're playing the Boston Blues Club. I think it's north of Boston, Haverhill.
Okay.
I think it's a fundraiser, and I have to, I'm embarrassed to say, I don't know what we're funding for.
Well, as long as
there's not guns, I'm fine.
That's in Haverhill, of course, Haverhill, Massachusetts.
It's Haverhill. What did I say, Haverhill?
Yes, yeah. Haverhill or something, but
Haverhill.
That's what it looks like.
Haverhill. Yeah, so, boy, I'm really doing great, Mark.
That's okay, because Haverhill...
I lived in Nantucket for 20 years, you know?
Well...
Anyways, that's like a fat in church here. Anyways, what I'm saying is that we're on our way there. We're also playing in Yarmouth. We're playing Yarmouth. We're playing... what are we playing? At a place called Fun Dances.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's on Route 28.
Yeah, we're doing some New England dates. And New Year's Eve, we'll be playing Nantucket.
Wow.
We'll do a big fundraiser there. And all my fishermen friends and stuff, we're going to have a good time.
There once was a man from Nantucket who had a...
Yeah, I know. I am the man from Nantucket.
I thought I was. See that? All men are that guy from Nantucket.
We're all the guys. Yeah, I tell you, it just keeps on coming. So needless to say, we're going to work New England as much as we can because we love that whole area. And it's my actually, Eric was born in Boston.
Really?
Yeah, he was born in Boston. I mean, we just love this New England thing. It's kind of hard to sort of get it all in the bio and stuff like that, but... I consider myself a Nantucketer, and I was looking for a place in Duxbury. We were trying to get our son into a school there, and then I got called back up to Toronto again. Anyway, so Massachusetts is calling me, just like the Bee Gees say, you know.
There you go.
I'll go back to Massachusetts.
And then if you come back here, you can hang out with Doug Flutie.
Yeah, I would. You know, I would. Actually, yes, that's right. He's in Rochester. No, he's in Buffalo. But
he's in Buffalo now, but
yeah.
He still lives out here.
He does, eh?
Yeah,
he's, on he's a wonderful man, and he's got his causes he's fighting for, and everybody's fighting for their causes. And, well, that's the kind of people that come out of Massachusetts, Mark, isn't it? Good people.
Good quality people.
Actually, there's a song called Outside Song. There's a movie called Outside Providence that Alec Baldwin is in, which is a cute movie about that whole New England thing, growing up in college there. And Mississippi Queen is in the movie. I'm making $40 on that.
I'm very happy, actually, that you just mentioned movies because, in addition to, of course, you're making the huge money on Mississippi Queen, you actually were one of the huge stars of the Southie, but unfortunately, you got snipped.
Yeah, I got snipped, yeah. It's the second time in life, when I was born and now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got snipped, but it's all right. It's a good movie, the Southie.
Yeah, it's got Rose McGowan.
Have you seen it?
No, but I love Rose McGowan, though.
Oh, she's great. She's actually great in this movie. When I met her, I thought she was a bit of a princess.
Yeah.
But she really put it on this movie. And actually, I was very surprised by the whole outcome of the movie. It's John Shade's first attempt to direct. And it's quite an ambitious movie, and I think it's well done. And it was great spending all that time in South Boston.
Yeah, I was invited to the premiere, but I did not go that night.
Oh, I'm sorry. You missed that one.
I had to comb my hair.
Yeah, and actually, the song, as you know, the song is in the movie.
Yes, it is called In This World.
In This World, yes. Mm. Was for my mom. Anyway, so Eric and I are heading off to play in your lovely. We have to get there. We're playing Ithaca tonight, which is a Monday night, and so we're doing it.
Now tonight, are you going to actually be able to? You're going to have to tape Ally McBeal.
Oh, that's right. It's a premiere tonight, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. You know, a buddy of mine, publisher, wrote one of the main songs in Ally McBeal. He's making a lot of money on that too.
Really?
Yeah. I actually, if you could do that, Mark, can you tape it?
Maybe, yeah.
If you could tape it together, I'll trade you for the sticks. He went, his son plays drums. So
there you go.
Oh, hold on, Eric wants to say goodbye. Hold on.
All right.
Say goodbye to Mark.
Eric Shankman's coming on to say goodbye.
Hi.
I didn't know you were born.
Parting is such sweet sorrow, Eric.
I know. I didn't get to talk to you because, well, needless to say, Corky was driving, and I was the master of the cell phone.
And you are now eating a hamburger.
Actually, he's just starting a hamburger. I'm finishing the sub.
Oh. Yeah, good quality food on the road, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. It's one of the great things about going on the road.
I'll say.
Do you have any children, Eric?
Well, no.
No.
I don't.
Are you married?
No. But
no.
My girlfriend has a daughter.
There you go.
So
I was wondering if you had invented any prodigies yourself, Colin Lang.
Not
yeah.
like Colin, no.
Because
Colin's unique.
Interesting thing when you have children and they become like you. It's kind of scary. I've got a couple myself, so I know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you're happy with the results of this, I assume, because it's a pretty good album.
Yeah, I'm really happy with the album. I think it's great. I think it came out really good.
Are you guys planning on doing another one shortly?
Yeah, we're going to do another one as soon as we can. I think probably, I would say next, the summer.
When you guys are on the road, do you actually write still, or are you just practicing pretty much?
I write in the winter, and so the winter's coming right now. So by the end of the winter, I'll have my. We will have written a whole bunch of songs.
You guys collaborating on pretty much everything at this point?
The stuff for Cork, yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty well just the two of us and.
It's got a nice sound to it. I like it a lot. It's different.
Well, you know what? It's a lot of fun. It really is a lot of fun. We have a really good time, and that's really what keeps us doing it. It's kind of nice. I know it's very simple, trio, really old style. Like there's, you know, the guitars get plugged into the amps on, and there's a good freedom involved, and there's a good groove.
Eric, he said that you were born around here. Where are you from?
I'm from Cambridge.
Oh.
The Boston Lying-In Hospital.
Hmm. Were you educated in the area, too?
No, I went to school in New England, though, for like the end of high school in Vermont.
Oh.
And I currently reside in Vermont, so I'm not really far away.
Were you always writing and playing guitar when you were a kid, too?
Yeah, ever since I was about 7.
Really?
Uh-huh. So it's kind of like I tried not to be a musician most of my life, so now I just I sort of accept the fact that I am one.
Did Mom and Dad say, hey, Eric, time to get a new job, a real job yet, or did they give you that routine?
Yeah, they did say that, and ironically, they're both musicians.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
It is funny.
Yeah, so you came about that through the genes as well, huh?
Yeah. Well, sort of, yeah, I think so.
A lot of times that happens like that.
Yeah, I think it's a way to get back at your parents.
That's funny. Now, your dad wasn't he at one point with the Boston Symphony Orchestra?
Yes, he was. Yes, that's right. He played in the Boston Symphony.
Wow.
When I was born, as a matter of fact. Which is why I was born in Boston, by Eric Shankman.
There you go. That's a book coming. It'll be coming out soon, that new book.
Yeah, but I love coming to Boston because, you know, I know I was born there. I lived there till I was 2. We live on the Fenway.
See, if you were born right here, though, you'll never do what Corky did when he mentioned you guys are going to Haverhill instead of Haverhill.
Oh, yeah. No, I would never do that.
It's like Worcester. Some people will say, I'm going to Worcester.
Yeah, Worcester.
Yeah.
Well, we're playing in Worcester. No, we're not.
Now you're playing in Yarmouth, and you're going to be playing
Yarmouth,
in the Martha's Vineyard?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
That sounds like some fun times.
Yep. It should be fun.
Well, good luck with the Corky album,
thanks.
Eric, and
yep.
Also yep. Say goodbye to Corky for me.
I will, and just, you know, anybody that's around, come and see the band.
Okay.